going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we do start off hour number two with our Chiefs insider turned into draft insider today, which we'll have some fun with. Felix Johnson on the program with us. We appreciate it, Felix. Listen, the round one in the books. The Chiefs get their guy. Let's start with a look at round one, and then we've got you for a couple segments here. We can get into round number two and three tonight. But in round one, the Chiefs, they stand pat. Now, they get a guy that makes a lot of sense. Was he their guy? Where did he sit on the board? We're never going to know the answers to that. But for those of us on the planet, and I don't know who on the planet Earth watched the Chiefs last year and didn't think they needed to get better on the offensive line, they get a guy who profiles to be finally what they've been trying to find for years, and he fell to him. And so I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you ought to be pretty happy today.
Right. No, I don't hate the move, obviously. And then I think moving down to 32 and getting 164 from the Eagles is probably the bigger part of it, to me at least. We've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, but the Chiefs have drafted tackles year after year after year, and none of them have worked. And I think that's what frustrates me a little bit about this pick, only just because it seems like they're making the same mistake. Now, Kingsley Suamataia last year seemed to be a guy that would have profiled to what they were looking for. And going into next season. So it does kind of frustrate me on that front, where it's like you could have gotten better on the weapons front, where they also needed the help there, and they obviously need the help up front offensive line wise, and they made the extension, or excuse me, signed Jalen Thomas, whatever his name is,
Jalen Moore from San Francisco.
Jalen Moore, I'm sorry. Signed him from San Francisco in free agency this year. And so I thought that was going to at least begin to solve some of the issues. But obviously, Brett Veach, Andy Reid, they decided to make this decision. And it's not the wrong one. I wanted Luther Burden.
Well, you know, Burden is still available. He won't be there the next time the Chiefs pick. But, I mean, I guess they could always, you know, trade up and get a weapon at some point if they needed to. I think with Simmons, my big thing is just knowing what he did, even in an injury shortened season last year with Ohio State, and the lack of pressures that he allowed. I mean, we're talking less than 1% of the snaps he allowed a pressure. You know, obviously we know the Chiefs have relied so much on the short and intermediate passes, the dump offs, that sort of thing, just because plays don't have enough time to develop downfield with how bad that offensive line has been. It does seem like, and I know health is a factor, but it does seem like Simmons profiles out as a guy that can at least help in that regard to give Mahomes more time to let the deep play develop.
Absolutely. And if that's, then we've seen some reports over the last 2 years that Patrick Mahomes wants to start letting it loose again, because that's just more fun. And he's obviously a quarterback that wants to have fun on the field on top of winning. So I do understand the front of drafting a tackle. Again, I'm not upset with the pick, and I think that Simmons is going to be a good player. I'm not going to say going to be, just because it's the NFL. You never know what can happen. But it's just kind of interesting to look at. Like, I mean, we're talking about throwing the ball deep downfield. Well, who's a target deep downfield that you really trust? I mean, love Xavier Worthy, but we'll see going into next year. And we'll love Rashee Rice, but he may not be there for the first half of the season, or whatever the case may be. So that kind of frustrated me just from the conversations we've had over the last couple of weeks. But again, obviously you need help at offensive line. Draft your tackle, draft your whatever you needed to. And then seeing like a Walter Nolan, seeing defensive linemen go earlier in the round, you weren't going to get a defensive tackle, a Derek Harmon, or any of those guys, because they were taking a couple picks before you.
They have Hollywood Brown too.
Yeah.
I would look at it this way. Like, if I asked you, Felix, in one, you know, sentence to tell me why the Chiefs lost last year's Super Bowl, and really why they've lost the two Super Bowls that they've lost, what would you say?
It's because of the offensive line, but I'd even argue, but that's because in the Super Bowls that they've won, they've had one of the best offensive lines in football for sure. And that's because they've went out and signed tackles. They went out and signed Jawan Taylor. They went out and traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They haven't had a tackle that they've started drafted and developed since Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. Those guys have been gone for a couple years now.
Yeah.
So, and I understand that, like, you need to draft and develop, and hopefully this does work out. And I'm not arguing that it shouldn't or it couldn't, but they haven't had the success, and they've had multiple cracks at it. And I understand that they haven't drafted a first round tackle, but drafted him with the 32nd overall pick might as well be a second round pick. Just like
they've just been like Kingsley was a late third, right? Or a late second. Late second. So, like, I think the pedigrees are, they've been trying everything they can to fix the problem without doing the thing that most commonly addresses the problem in the NFL, and that's getting one of these guys early in the draft. Like, the best ones in the league almost all fit. Like, they were all coming in as the best tackles. It doesn't, you know, at tackle, it's hard. And then the other thing I would just ask about, like, to me, and I agree they need to open up the downfield passing game, but to me, like, the chances of better protection for Mahomes will have a higher chance of opening that up than drafting Luther Burden or any wide receiver. They have the guys to do it. They don't have the protection to get a downfield route to save their lives. The only thing they can do to throw the ball down the field is to say X, you know, whatever receiver, you know, whether it's Hollywood Brett, is run as fast as you can down the field, and I'm going to throw one up. If they can protect, they can actually run some deep routes again and do real downfield passing.
No, and if that's the big philosophical shift they're going to, then awesome. But the most successful Kansas City Chiefs offensive season we've seen recently was the year that they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl. They didn't have to go deep down the field. They didn't have to. And in today's NFL, it's going to be harder to go deep down the field. Now, you're going to get your chances like they got in the Super Bowl, like certain teams get, just because smart offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators make mistakes, whatever happens. And so you're going to get your opportunities in Kansas City. Hopefully they can open the door there and try and get more opportunities. But I think, again, I'm attached to Luther Burden. And again, the pick has been made. It doesn't matter. I think Luther Burden would have opened up more opportunities for your offense as a receiver, it's Andy Reid. He's probably going to get some snaps at running back or H back or whatever the case may be. So I think that could have opened up the offense a little bit more than another tackle would have. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. Again, if Simmons starts week one and he starts every week, I'm not going to be mad at it. We're going to be sitting here and probably not even talking about him, because when an offensive lineman is good, we don't talk about them. So I think that it's a good pick if it works out and the injuries, and obviously Brett Veach is a great general manager. Scouting department has done all their studying and everything. So hopefully all of that is taken care of. I just would have liked to see, if we're sitting here in this spot where we know that Kansas City needs this big philosophical shift offensively, or even like we've talked about with George Karlaftis with an edge rusher, and obviously we talked about how things didn't work out that way with an interior defensive lineman, I would have liked to seen a move that way. But if it works, I'm happy to.
Well, you know, if we're talking, you know, moving forward in tonight and then in tomorrow, knowing that from a weapon perspective, I mean, that's a big priority, I think, for them and you as well, Felix. What direction do they go, you know, tonight with their next pick? And then how do you see the rest of the draft board falling for them?
Well, and that's what kind of scares me about the Chiefs, is that I probably won't get excited about any of their picks until tomorrow. Like, I mean, it's Sky Moore. If they drafted a weapon in the second round, that's the person I would think of is, oh, yeah, Sky Moore, he didn't work out in the second round. And I know it's just – it's PTSD or whatever you want to call it, where it's just, I'm a scorned fan, but that's what it is. And this is recency within the era of success that Kansas City's had. They haven't had the greatest early round picks, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So it is kind of hard to say, like, yeah, go ahead and go grab whatever receiver if Luther Burden's there at pick 63 or whatever. I can't remember the exact pick that they have, but it is just kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, go get that receiver, but I don't know who you go grab, just because it's one of those draft classes where the top 45-ish picks are similar, and then it's everybody else. So you're probably going to get more value on day three than you would day two.
Yeah, they certainly have the draft capital now with the extra fifth, because they already had they already had five picks, right, in the first four rounds. Now they have six. So they have plenty of capital to go move up in this round. If they identify somebody that way, it's the other reason I like the Simmons pick, is because now they have all that capital. If they've identified somebody else, and maybe they have, maybe they haven't, that they can go up and get whoever it is. I just think it's less likely. Look, there's so many running backs. I do think they'll address running back. Mm-hmm. I'd be surprised if they are overly aggressive at that position. I think you start throwing darts at pass rushers now. This is a good place to get them,
for sure. And I'm seeing your name tag now, Shador's number one fan. I was kind of shocked to see nobody traded back up into the first round and nab him and get that fifth year option. And Kansas City would have been prime in that position to get even more picks in that range that we're talking about here. And I know we'll probably talk about that at some point today, but I think that's going to be a big part of this early part of the draft. So I don't know if Kansas City moves up or is super mobile based off of where Shador goes. I mean, yeah. I'd hate to specialize the conversation just to one player, but that's what it is right now, because he fell to the second round.
It totally is. And the Chiefs aren't taking Shador Sanders as much as I've liked that joke over the years.
You never know, dude. Trade opportunities.
If the Browns take him at two and they didn't do the same thing that the Eagles did with the Chiefs and move up one spot, it'll be a mistake just because of the contractual stuff. But yeah, The Chiefs, you have to imagine they fielded calls there. Or maybe everybody just doesn't like Shadur, which I do not understand. Let's get into day two when we return. We'll start to look at some of the options for the Chiefs. They got a lot of picks here in these next few rounds. I'll tell you why I think that adds into why yesterday was good. We've got Felix Johnson with us, our Chiefs insider. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now by texting the keyword T to 20357. That's T-E-A. You can get a free cup of iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from, including the return of Blueberry Summerade. These will be good for East or West Wichita or in Derby. Text the keyword T to 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once per day. We welcome you back into another hour of Sports Daily here. We're talking NFL draft. We've got our Chiefs insider, Felix Johnson, with us. We've gone through the pick of Josh Simmons. And I'll tell you another reason I like the pick of Josh Simmons. Tommy, the Chiefs went into this, and the thought was, what is the strategy behind this year? Do they move up and sort of go all in with this roster they've run back from a Super Bowl? Do they get somebody that can help them immediately try to win another Super Bowl? Or do they begin through the draft to build that next chapter because we know they're going to lose so many of these players? Well, with Simmons falling, I think they maybe have accomplished a little bit of both. Simmons could absolutely make this team better if he's healthy this year. He can. He's that kind of a player, has that kind of a pedigree. Now they have all these picks. They can do the same thing here. Now they can go attack some of these positions and think 2 and 3 years down the road, sort of like they did in the McDuffie draft to try and rebuild this. So that's the other reason I like it, Tommy. As much as I wanted to see them move up, I wanted to see them move up to get somebody like Simmons anyway. They didn't have to. They still have all their picks. Now they can just sort of accumulate players to try and offset the blow that they're going to have next offseason. They're going to lose a lot of guys next year.
Well, for sure, and especially on the offensive line. I mean, I think by all accounts, we all pretty much believe that Juwan Taylor is not going to be back after this season. And so right tackle is going to be an issue, right? And so, you know, that's probably not going to be Josh Simmons because you want him to be your left tackle to protect the blind side long term. But if Jalen Moore pans out the way that they think that he will, that could potentially be an option. So, I mean, you're basically having, you know, you got somebody in place here that, with Josh Simmons that, yes, can be an impact player right away if he's healthy. But even then, like, you're looking at a long-term potential cornerstone on that offensive line. They haven't had that in forever. You have to go back all the way to Eric Fisher to think of a guy that was your anchor on that line like that in that regard. And so, you know, I do think that it does potentially accomplish two things at the same time. And yeah, it's a lot of it's going to pan out how they play their draft picks today, tomorrow, all of that, because they are potentially going to be losing a lot after this season. How do they refill and restock, you know, to be able to go long term? And so I do think it's a smart move in that regard.
Felix, Eric Fisher's an interesting name because if Josh Simmons takes a minute, you'll just have to think back to Eric Fisher for the last time it took a minute for a high pedigree guy at that position to kind of find his groove. But mm-hmm. when we talked last segment about trading up potentially and getting that impact guy, but as much as the Chiefs have made some misses, you know, in the first day and early, they have also made a living being really good in this portion of the draft. Maybe not in the second, you know, the third, the fourth, the fifth, having a lot of picks there. Like, what do you think is more likely, I guess? Do they move up to try and still get a high-impact guy, or do they just start loading up with dudes to slowly bring in and extend this window out as long as they can?
Well, I think what excited me the most, and it was just kind of just the switch of going from 31 to 32, and, like, why'd the Eagles move up? They could have got Jahad Campbell. I don't think the Chiefs are going to draft him at 31. And so, like, it felt like I always feel more comfortable when I feel the Chiefs know something that I don't. And that's what I felt last night, and that's what I kind of felt like with the Legarius Sneed trade a year ago, where, like, oh yeah, they're getting a pick back, but there was that 75% window or whatever the case may be, and it ends up being upgraded to the next round. So I like where the Chiefs are at because I don't know what they're doing. I don't know exactly what the case may be. Now, Tommy, you bring up a good point about the offensive line losing guys off of it, kind of in a negative point with Juwan Taylor and, like, all of the controversy he brings. But in a positive light, Trey Smith's going to be too expensive.
Yeah.
So do they draft a guard or two? And you know that the Chiefs like to have that sixth guy, whether it be for an injury or just rotating in, like Allegretti and Caliendo kind of played in the last couple years. And they'll have that guy depending on what they do with Simmons and Moore at the tackle spot and Sua Mataia and Caliendo at the guard spot. So I'd imagine that they draft a guy and get him into the system for like a year or two, or maybe somewhere in the next couple of days, an interior offensive lineman. Maybe it's a center to back up Creed Humphrey, because you never know. You want to have a good center to back up your great center. So I do see where the Chiefs, they're kind of strategically moving around. So when I don't know what they're doing, I feel more comfortable. It's a strange place to be in, but it is the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's a good point on drafting interior linemen. Obviously, they feel like Sua Mataia will be successful there. I think they hope Wanya Morris can be successful there. It's interesting with Trey Smith and his long-term propositions. Mm-hmm. But Tommy, the other spot they're going to need, I think more than any other in the immediate future, is pass rusher. How many more times can they bring back Charles Omenihu? Who knows? But George Karloftis, to me, is the guy that's going to get too expensive for his production and what the Chiefs will be able to afford. So this is a place historically in this league where you can find success, and that is with defensive linemen. This would be a good spot to take. I don't know what they can come out of this draft with at least two of those guys, maybe three, and just see if you can't find a little bit of a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, I know that there were a lot of people out there that were really, really interested in potentially Mike Green being the guy that the Chiefs looked at in the first round, and they ultimately didn't go with him, and he didn't get drafted in the first round at all. You know, then there are several others that are out there that could potentially be, you know, an impact type pass rusher for the Chiefs. And I don't disagree with you. I think that, you know, when you look at who they have on their roster, you know, as an edge rusher right now, obviously, George Karloftis has been the guy, but he's going to get paid, and he's probably, I would think, not going to get paid by the Chiefs. Maybe they will, but I think that's, you know, less of a guarantee at this point with the way that, you know, the Chiefs handle their finances. So I think having somebody in place that can add depth at that position this year and then potentially take a step forward if they don't end up re-upping with George Karloftis after this season, I think is a smart way to use a second-round draft pick. And so if there's a guy on the board, and I would doubt it's Mike Green by the time their second-round pick comes around, but if it's somebody like him, or you know, there are other people that are on the board at that point, I wouldn't have an issue at all with the Chiefs using that second-round pick on a pass rusher.
Well, even more to your point, Tommy, we've gone through it before with it, and looking at our field vision metrics, there's a havoc rating that there's about 40-ish defensive ends that fit into about 75 and up. So they're getting you about 7.5 to 8 sacks a year. So this is when you find those guys. There's about 40 guys in the league. Not all of them were first round picks. So can you go find George Karloftis 2.0? Maybe not as good, but can kind of tide you over till you can draft a guy in the 20s eventually, or whatever the case may be. So I do think that an edge rusher is getting drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs either today or early tomorrow.
Let's bring up the elephant in the room too, Tommy. You mentioned Mike Green, off-field issues, CBS Sports and others point out maybe the reason the leader in sacks in college football fell is because of a sexual assault allegation at Virginia, before Marshall, and in high school. The Chiefs, I don't want to say the Chiefs don't care about that stuff, but the Chiefs kind of don't care about that stuff as much because they feel like their locker room culture can keep some of these things in check. So just have that in the back of your mind with that particular player. The Chiefs have a history of taking risks with character guys and trying to get them in and letting guys like Mahomes and Kelsey sort of rehabilitate people. You know, Frank Clark fits that role. Tyreek Hill fits that role.
There are character issues with Josh Simmons. There are character. I mean, like, the knock on him has been a lack of maturity, you know, and so he's
talking about legal issues.
True, right. Like, but to your point, I mean, that's never been something that is an issue. It's just not anything they prioritize.
Yeah. Well, it's not that they're not going to like do it, but they, I think, are more comfortable than a lot of teams when it's like a legal type character issue. They brought back Kareem Hunt, you know, like Rashi Rice has faced it, there's no way in the world that you didn't have, like, Rashi Rice goes from zero to the thing that he did. Like, there had to be something in the checks that they did. So my point with all that, Felix, is if Green's sitting there staring him in the face, a character issue is not going to be the reason they don't draft him.
Right. I think it's akin to, I mean, we forget it all the time, and I do a lot of reading, and so I remember more about the Patriots dynasty, even though it's kind of recent history. Some people tend to forget, but they had Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown on their roster. So they and I don't know if they won the Super Bowl in those given years, but they absorbed whatever issues that they had and lasted for however long. And with Antonio Brown, you know, it's Antonio Brown. With Josh Gordon, that can flame out as quickly as it can. So they have their issues, and you can only last for so long. And I think the Chiefs, they are also the team that cut Kareem Hunt. Like, this is the same, just the same coach and the organization for the most part. So they do have a tolerance level. It's just higher than other teams because they have this recent level of success. They have a quarterback. They have Travis Kelce. They have Chris Jones, guys that not only are great leaders and strong people, it seems like, but are the best in the league. So you have that added on respect of like, yeah, no, I'm not going to disrespect Travis Kelce because this is the greatest tight end of all time. I'm not going to disrespect Chris Jones because of this, that, and the third. Patrick Mahomes is who he is. So I think that you're right. There could be a cultural thing, but they do have a level of like, yeah, we won't put up with mess if we don't absolutely have
to. No. It's not that they don't. My point is they have a higher threshold for it because it's less of a risk to them than it is to other people. Nobody is coming in and disrupting the culture of the Chiefs that's built on Reed, Mahomes, Kelce, and Chris Jones. That won't happen. It'll either not happen because those guys won't tolerate it, or to your point, the Chiefs will be fine and willing to just cut that loose a little bit. I mean, you know, they do it all the time. All the time they take in guys that way. And most of the time, as much as it annoys fans, some fans, they do find, you know, peace in those character issues. And we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice, and who knows. But, like, that's a talented player that's sliding down the board for a reason that the Chiefs are comfortable with, is all I'm saying.
For sure. And I mean, look at last offseason. Rashee Rice, sure, that's the headline issue, but you had offensive linemen getting arrested. You had so many issues going down with your team, and then you still made it to the Super Bowl. You were the last undefeated team. You were still, because of all the things that we've just mentioned. So if they do decide to go with Mike Green, and if he's available and he can still be productive, and again, Brett Veach, they did all the studying on Simmons's injury. I can only imagine that they would do all the studying that they can on character injuries. I mean, watch draft day last week. You can find out that somebody didn't go to somebody's birthday party. You can find out if somebody's a truly good person or not, or if it was just a wrong place, wrong time situation, depending on the scenarios.
Tommy, let's talk running back. The Chiefs, there was the report, I think it was Tuesday, that they were really looking at running back as a position they might be willing to be aggressive for. They're in this point in the draft, though, where, like, I don't know. I don't even know who's like, who would be that guy now? There's not really anybody to me that stands out.
Travion Henderson is still around. Quinshon Judkins is still around. I mean,
Those guys are graded as, you know, thirds, maybe even down into fourth for it by some. Like,
that's fine.
Do you need to reach on one of those guys?
In my opinion, I think it's such a deep running back class that I think you can wait. I don't think you need to reach for one. I don't think you need to trade up for one. I don't think you need to pick one with your second round pick. I'd much prefer them go pass rusher in the second round, or heck, even wide receiver if somebody, you know, is in that position for them at that time in the second round, because it's so deep later on in the draft. I would definitely stand pat on running back and go later in the draft for somebody like that.
Well, I even think that, like, the bigger the name and the later the round, and this might be a little bit of a flawed philosophy, but because there's such a simple translation almost of, if you're good in college, you'll probably be somewhat good immediately in the NFL, no matter what level you played at. Say Travion Henderson's available in the third round, national champion for the Ohio State Buckeyes. That feels right. Feels like he's going to be good in the NFL for at least, he's not be your featured back, but the Chiefs aren't looking for a guy that's going to get 25 carries a game, because that's not what they do.
Well, they're looking for, as much as anything, they're looking for insurance, I think, on Isaiah Pacheco. That can't be. Kareem Hunt was a great story for them last year. Kareem Hunt was not all that effective. I don't think you would have ever, at the start of a season, planned on, our backup plan is a guy who probably is never going to run for more than 5 or 6 yards on any individual carry. Kareem Hunt helped them in pass protection and all the ways he helped them. But they need to get better at that spot. That's a spot they can get better this year that could really impact their Super Bowl chances. Felix, I don't know how much you've looked at Ezeraku. You know, the Chiefs get this luxury. He's an undersized guy, but his college production was high. He's sort of in this range for the Chiefs of maybe trade-up candidates. I think the knock on him is strictly size, but he has been a really effective college football player. He fits maybe a profile even more than him specifically or Green specifically. Some of those guys, for whatever reason, that were really good college players, as you mentioned, I do think that's also an opportunity perhaps to trade up and take the risk there. Again, they didn't have to take the risk with Simmons. He fell to them. Mm-hmm. They can afford to take the risk now if they choose to. The risk that I thought they'd take in the first round, they could still take that here.
Well, and the same thing can be said for, like, Simmons with the injury risk. They don't need the corner, but I mean, Will Johnson's still sitting right there. I mean, I know that it's Spags. I mean, he'd be happy with another defensive back. And Will Johnson is a talent that could have went in the first half of the draft and probably should have had it had this knee injury not popped up. So you're right. I think that the Chiefs, it is philosophically, and I've used that word like 18 times today, but it is one of those things where I wish that they were a little bit more risky, especially at times like this where it's like, it's not even that risky. Like, you're just trading to the top of the first, or top of the second round, or top half of the second round, or third round, or whatever the case may be. So why not? Like, again, we've talked about it over the last couple of weeks. There's not a ton of rookies that can make this roster, so you might as well get the best ones available in the spots that you need them to.
And if they trade up and go Will Johnson, for instance, I mean, that's your Trent McDuffie contingency plan, right? Like, that's exactly. If you cannot come to terms long-term with McDuffie.
It gives you more flexibility. Absolutely. Exactly. Like, we talk about the edge rusher, getting an edge rusher just in case Karlaftis is getting paid. Who knows with Trent McDuffie? Knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but it is the NFL. Injuries happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen this year with him. You could see a world where you draft Will Johnson and it's like, oh yeah, he's our next guy. Sorry, Trent McDuffie, kick rocks. But like, that's how it could go. Hopefully it doesn't, but that's a world we could be living in. And there's a player sitting right there that could be your contingency plan.
Yeah, I agree with that. Collect talent. I mean, just a collection of whatever the talent is. That's what they are allowed to do now by
That's
what the Eagles do. There's like, all right, we'll draft Georgia.
Chiefs do. I mean, it's what the Chiefs do too. They've used a lot of this draft capital over the years to trade for guys like Juwan Taylor, to trade for Orlando Brown, to trade for Frank Clark. Like, they've traded a lot of draft capital. There are a couple of drafts where they've just taken a bunch of players and it works out for them because they're good at drafting in this range. And that's where this day today here is the Chiefs get all these picks in these middle rounds. What they'll pick twice today or yeah, twice yeah, today. And then
63 and 66.
And then they get a bunch of picks right after that. Right. Which is their sweet spot. So I think that's the beauty. A part of the beauty of the Simmons deal is they still have the assets and they can still that philosophy. Do they get aggressive with another player or do they just try to load up? And you know, if I'm the rest of the league, the thought of them not having to take a rebuilding year sucks. And if they get this right and get three or four guys out of this draft that can help them after this year, and that's going to suck for the rest of the league, because there's a real chance that after next year, all those guys they brought back, a lot of those guys could very well be gone next year.
Major money on the table for them everywhere. Yeah.
Major money. Felix, we appreciate it. Thanks for the insight. We'll have it all in the books the next time we talk early next week.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome in. Jalen Thompson with us. Quick shout out to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up as we all stayed up late with the NFL draft yesterday. We're going to talk Royals, though, now, as they do finally what they needed to do, quite frankly, in the games against Colorado. They sweep them. And in the last two games, they bucked the trend to 17 straight without scoring more than four runs. They do it in both games. Now they get a big series against the Astros, who are heating up. That starts tonight at the K. Jalen, good series there against Colorado. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Hanging in there.
We're good. Look, Salvi, let's start with Salvi. Four doubles, 4 for 8. I mean, is the offensive awakening honestly as simple as a guy like Salvi doing what he normally does? Is that enough?
I think it's a big part of it. And also, when we talked to Salvi, I asked him after game one of the doubleheader, and he straight up said, we were doing too much. You know, everybody was trying to be the hero, trying to get the team out of the funk by themselves. So he was like, just keep the line moving. Take what's given and let the next guy, let your teammate come in and do the job if you can't get it done. And I think that's what they've done. I mean, it's the Colorado Rockies, so they're not the best team in baseball right now. So you got to take that in consideration. But I think the Royals are showing signs of life with their offense, and that's a big thing for them moving forward.
I know that obviously yesterday's doubleheader had a lot of positives. You know, they were able to score more than four runs for the first time in like 3 weeks or even longer than that in both of the games. And so that was good that the bats were, you know, sort of unleashed and let loose. The only kind of lingering negative is the status of Cole Reagans after that first game, that game one, had to leave the game after three innings. And to be quite honest, in those three innings he pitched, he didn't look very good, gave up four runs to the Rockies during that time. What are you hearing about him, his injury status? Where do things stand with Reagans?
We will find out more probably today when I get to the ballpark. But from yesterday, he was getting treatment. It's a left groin tightness. It was something that he tried to get loose when he was pitching throughout his start. It kind of got loose in the first and second innings, and then he sat down, and it got tight again. He just wasn't comfortable. Matt Cotrero said he wasn't comfortable warming up in his pregame. Salvi said he noticed something in the bullpen and in the first inning. So, you know, the Royals, they are going to continue to monitor him, and hopefully he can – you know, get back to where he needs to be at for their sake, because you don't want to lose a guy like Cole Reagans if he has to go on any type of injury list. So we'll find out more today. But yeah, that is going to be a chief concern, because that is their guy. That's their ace. And you need him if you're trying to make a run this season.
Well, so if he does have to spend any time on the IL, and you don't have Alec Marsh back yet, what's that option? Are they going to disrupt the success that Daniel Lynch has found early in this season and try and stretch him out, or do they just go down to AAA and get a spot starter?
That is a very good question, and I think that would be something that you would have to consider, right? I mean, Daniel Lynch has been so good in the bullpen this year. I don't know if they will want to kind of disrupt that, especially because now you're saying, all right, go pitch multiple innings. And that will require him to either stretch out in big league games or stretch out on the side. I don't think you want to mess with that, because he's an essential part to your bullpen. And you're already down multiple relievers right now without Sam Long and Hunter Harvey. So you're going to need Daniel Lynch to be probably still in his role. So if Cole Reagans was to require an injury list stint, I think you have to go with someone like Noah Cameron down in AAA. He was someone that was fighting for that fifth starter spot in spring training. Maybe you call him up for a spot start and let him make his MLB debut and roll from there.
Going back to the first game in the series with the Rockies, the Royals won that in extra innings. And I thought that was, you know, really interesting, because they grinded it out. It wasn't like the offense, you know, looked anywhere close to what it did in the doubleheader yesterday. But I think what was most notable in that opening game, Carlos Estevez struggled really the most we've seen him struggle this year out of the pen. Gave the lead back to the Rockies in the ninth, and then ultimately, you know, the Royals were fortunate enough to get the win in extras. Did you see anything in that appearance from Estevez that concerned you long term, or do you think that was just kind of more of an anomaly because he has been really good throughout the course of this season so far?
I think it was an anomaly because he came back and he was able to get the save later on in the series. So I think game one, he got that save. So I'm not too worried about him in the walks. It just happens, you know. Relievers, they're always going to have one or two or three games during the season where they just look flat out just not who they're supposed to be. But it was a little concerning to see that game go quickly as it could and then the bullpen come in and just start walking guys. But, you know, that will happen over a course of 162, but Carlos Estevez, he has six saves this season, and he's been pretty good. So I think that he just has to continue to on his same path, and, you know, he'll continue to get adjusted pitching in Kauffman Stadium. Remember, this is his first year doing that, so I think he'll be where he needs to be when it's all said and done.
He pitched for Colorado for a long time, maybe some emotion there. Certainly good to see that clean inning yesterday. Let's all pat ourselves on the back here. We've made it. Oh, I don't know, 10 minutes into this thing, we haven't brought up Jack Caglione playing in the outfield. So let's do that now. J- Jalen, Jack Caglione played in the outfield, played fine, had one good, you know, play that was shared around on social media. To me, that screams fast track.
Yeah.
What? How do you read that?
To me, that tells me that, all right, you're Jack Caglione. We are heading into May, and you are leading double A in all these different categories. Let's see if you can play the outfield, and then that's the next progression for you. You can do that at double A, then triple A might be in your future coming in probably June, July. I think that's where I kind of read that at, where you put him at triple A in June and July, and then if he does well there, you start to think about, is this going to be a September call-up?
Really?
That's what I think.
I think if he plays the outfield, now assuming he still hits, I think if he proves he can play the outfield, they're getting him up in no later than June, and Hunter Renfroe is going to get DFA'd. That's what I think. But, you know, maybe if Salvi keeps hitting and Vinny comes around, maybe they don't need to do that. But I think there's a real possibility they need Caglione this year, and they're going to have to let him just take his lumps a little bit, hitting seventh for the Royals at the big league club.
Yeah, let me ask you this question too. With the A's bringing up Nick Kurtz, who was also in the same draft class, yep, number four overall, do you think that might have added something to it?
They got to just clear the contractual stuff, but maybe. I mean, I think it's a need based thing. I don't think they want to, but I think they know they might need him. And the question to me becomes, can you really wait that long in that division to call him up if you think he's going to help you? Because I don't know that they can.
Yeah, that is the other side of the coin. I think theoretically, like, The scenario I said, I think that's probably what they really want to do. But like, mm-hmm, what you said, Jacob, you're absolutely right. If he keeps hitting the way he's hitting, and it doesn't help either that so many different media outlets continue to post every single thing he does in double A. So that just keeps reminding the Royals, hey, you got this guy in double A.
He's there. Get him ready. There. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You guys need a power hitter?
Oh, interesting. Where
but I agree with you, Jacob. I think that could really happen, what you said, too. I think it could if they run take that big swing.
Has Drew Waters done enough at this point to be your everyday left fielder?
I think that you should give him a chance, too, because he has just been so comfortable. I mean, I understand that you send MJ Melendez down and you want him to get his swing worked out and things like that. But in the big leagues, if opportunity opens up, you have to be ready to seize the moment. And I think Drew Waters has done that. Just keep giving them playing time, and maybe he finally becomes that top prospect that he was with the Atlanta Braves, that top prospect that you traded for. He made some great plays. He had that nice catch against the wall in left field in foul territory. He has a couple of nice hits. He hit the home run. I think he's starting to put it together, but you just don't know until you give him consistent at-bats. So I think you should go with that if I'm the Royals and see what he can do.
Boy, comfortable is, I think, maybe the perfect adjective for what Drew Waters looks like. He looks very comfortable right now, far more than some of his peers, I think. And that's good. And honestly, so like, let's say Cags comes up and he's playing right field. You've got Waters playing left. I think you want to put Mikel Garcia in center. The question then becomes, what do you do with Massey/India? India better start hitting.
Yeah, but I think they like Kyle Isbell in center. I think they want to keep him in center because of what he can do.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. He's not a better option than Mikel Garcia becoming a pretty good center fielder.
But they also like Mikel at third base too. So it just, because Mikel's like their best defender. So what I think if in your scenario, Jacob, what I think could happen, if all that plays out, then you would probably see Mikel kind of be in that role of a Ben Zobrist, maybe, where he can play third, he can play center, he can play second. You keep him in the lineup, but he's at different positions. So then he's just like giving guys days off. So one day he's in center field, one day he's in third base, give Indy a day off, give Massey a day off at second. You know, they can do something like that. So – there's a way to do it, and they also have the designated hitter too. So I think if the Royals get to that point, you know it's because they want to push for this division and they need to.
I love it. Astros series coming up this weekend should be a big one. The Astros are heating up, unfortunately, right at the wrong time. You face two of their really good pitchers, and this is a good test. I mean, look, I think this is a nice little litmus test coming out to, as the Royals heat up, to see if it's real or not. They're at home. It's a team they ought to be able to beat. The Astros are they're heating up, but they're not the Astros of a year or two ago. So we're excited about this series. Tonight, it is Lugo and Wisniewski. He's not one of the guys I was talking about. I haven't heard of him before. Then it's Framber and Hunter Brown, who are both pretty dang good.
Yeah.
So it should be a fun series.
I'm excited for that Hunter Brown-Chris Bubich matchup. I think that's going to be really nice. Two young pitchers. I know Chris Bubich has been around, but I think he is the MVP so far for the Royals. I would give it to Michael Garcia on the offensive side, but Chris Bubich has just been great this year.
There's a few. I think Daniel Lynch and Bobby Witt Jr. have come, but I'm with you on that. Bubich has been fantastic. And we'll call it the best development of this season. How about that?
Yeah.
Brady Singer's looking good. So it's been nice to see Bubich pick up that slack. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I was going to say this too. When you look back at that trade for Brady Singer for Jonathan India, it was kind of important that you had to have Chris Bubich pitch well, because you gave up a nice starter. We talked about that this offseason. So I think Bubich was the answer to why it was okay to give up Brady Singer.
Yeah, Brady Singer is sitting right now with just a bunch of, a bunch of good starts, and he's been solid for sure. And a lot of those have come in the band box in Cincinnati. But India's got time. Look, India, I'm still confident in India. We'll see.
He had a walk and he had a double yesterday in game two.
I agree.
He's a hitter. So a hitter's going to go through cold spells. But I think he's going to turn around. And like I said, he's getting better in left field. It's just a matter of you want him to be your leadoff hitter. So if he does the leadoff part right, you'll figure out the rest of the stuff.
I totally agree. You need him on base for Bobby Witt Jr. Jalen Thompson, beat writer for the KC Star for the Kansas City Royals, our Royals insider. You can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson and find his work at the KC Star. Jalen, we appreciate it. Good to be talking about some wins this week.
Thank you guys so much. And I want to plug something before I go. I have a story on Freddie for Me coming out on Sunday. It's really great.
I'm ready for it because I love me some Freddie for Me. Man, what a fun show on Sports Daily, Tommy. The day after round one of the draft is just so fun. I love it so much. And Monday will be the same because we got a lot of picks to analyze. All right, we'll see everybody Monday. We'll have Royals reaction. Thanks to Felix Johnson. Thanks to Jalen Thompson. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. See you Monday.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.